talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Why do we have to get up so early?
I'm gonna need more coffee.
Coffee's for people who don't have adrenaline!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I understand you're pretty funny as a DJ, and, well, comedy is a kind of hobby of mine. Well, actually, it's a little more than just a hobby. Reader's Digest is considering publishing 2 of my jokes.
Really?
Yeah. And perhaps some night we could maybe get together and swap humorous stories. Yeah. For fun.
Oh, why not? Maybe play a couple of Tennessee Ernie Ford records. That'd be a hoot.
That's a joke, right?
Maybe.
I get it.
Educates. Syncopates. Radio communicates. Radio. The sound of year-round pleasure.
And now.
I'm a doctor.
Of what?
Partying.
Our feature presentation.
That's true, by the way. He is a doctor of partying.
Indeed.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:35. It's Thursday, the 16th of May.
This won't surprise you, Kevin. Shortly before you came in, Beard Mug was telling us about his close personal friend who was arrested yesterday for having all those pipe bombs in his apartment.
Is that right?
Not friend at all.
A mile from here?
Interesting that Beer Mug, of all people, would know that guy and probably helped put those bombs together.
Nope. He actually just went to my high school. He was a grade below me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's it.
Let's see. That's close enough tie-in for me to get
out. Yeah, me too.
Let's call someone.
Let's see, Lisa, how much do you know this guy?
I don't know this guy at all. I don't even know what he looks like. I don't even know his name.
Kevin?
Never heard of him.
Me neither. Nothing.
Although I would be the likely suspect, you know, out in the lead without knowing anything.
Things that get lit on fire
and
explode.
Blowing stuff up.
Sure.
But.
They think he was a lone. They think he's a lone wolf, and there's no terrorism. They don't have any idea what what the plan was. But what a dumbass to get found out in a traffic stop. That's what happened to this guy in Culver City yesterday. Folks who didn't hear about it, they pulled him over, and I didn't hear for. I guess it was expired registration tags. Is that what it was? Like they'd expired on his. He's driving around with drugs, with guns, with pipe bombs. Don't you make sure your stickers are current if you've got that going on inside your car?
I think you have more important things to deal with at that point. The voices in your head are talking to you. You can't deal with that kind of stuff.
You're unable to realize that people aren't thinking straight, though. Guy must have been crazy. Who's thinking about their stickers?
I think they're thinking about, hey, I don't want to attract the police's attention. Well, aren't they thinking about that if they've got pipe bombs?
You would be, yes. I'm just saying, I don't think you can apply logic to people who are crazy.
They're just driving along thinking, this is the best day ever. I have a car full of pipe bombs and drugs. Yay!
As many as 17 explosive devices found inside his apartment, by the way. And I guess they had found a pipe bomb in December at a Jack in the Box in Culver City. And they're investigating now to see whether he had something to do with that.
We should check Muggs' car.
Nope.
Nothing has exploded yet. So
here, Muggs, he said no before I even finished a sentence.
He sure did. I think he protests too much.
No!
It's right there in the parking lot.
Seems like, Beer Mug, if I was as innocent as you claim to be, I would be welcoming the additional scrutiny.
Yeah, well, then fine. Come search me. Come search everything you need.
But give you a couple of hours head start.
He'll be right back.
It's hilarious to me that of all the people in the world, this is Beer Mug's best friend.
No, not best friend. Schoolmate.
Brother.
He's
a brother, isn't he?
Went to school with him. That's it.
Went to school. All right.
We were just partners in science lab, guys. That's all. We just took a pipe cutting class with pipes. But I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Good times.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though, seriously?
It
would
solve all
of our issues.
It would. If we could just pin accomplice on him,
right?
Absolutely. Take care of it.
Speaking of Beer Mug, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kiss my black...
Okay.
Okay.
Beer Mug interviews on the red carpet of Star Trek Into Darkness.
I can't wait.
He does good work in that situation.
Beer Mug on one side of the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Abrams on the other.
Yeah.
You'll never, ever be in a situation where you have two things that are less similar that close together.
Can't wait. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Eh.
We have Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In today's program, we have brand new Internet Roundup,
We have Michael Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, star the best.
The Iceman.
How good does that movie look, by the way?
It looks awesome. We have John Cho, speaking of movies, one of the stars of Star Trek, in the studio today.
Wow.
Very excited about that. And we have tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. So that's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
I don't feel that our show is of the caliber of a show that should be talking to Michael Shannon next hour. That makes me uncomfortable that he's coming on our show.
But really, our show is not good enough to sort of talk to anyone. So.
Right, but a guy like him, though, he's way too good, right? Way too professional, way too talented to be on a little dog and pony show like
this. But as Kevin mentions, that could apply to many guests we talk to compared to us.
Oh, really?
We're barely
even strippers.
We're barely not worthy to talk to Farrah Abraham.
Yeah, that's true. I'm uncomfortable with it. Anyway, that's coming up. Plus, our friend Jill Wagner from Wipeout on ABC joins us right at the top of the hour. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of talking to people, Dave the King of Mexico, my buddy, got us into the Maxim Hot 100 party last night.
Oh,
is that right?
So if I look a little worse for wear, it's because.
That's two nights in a row, Ralph.
I drank a lot of effing vodka last night.
Was the hottest girl in the world there, Miley Cyrus?
Miley Cyrus was there. Oh. I watched her come in. Boy, is she not the hottest girl in the world.
Did your jaw drop? She's just amazing.
Nope, my jaw
now?
Stayed right where it was. In fact, it got
so
a little tighter.
Stunning.
My jaw got a little tighter.
Really? Because I was gritting my teeth saying, she's not that hot.
She is seven girls hotter than Kate Upton, though, Ralph. Come on. We saw the list.
It was madness.
So was she the hottest at the party?
No, not by far. As you can imagine, at a Maxim party, just every hot girl between the ages of 18 and 30 wants to be at the Maxim party because they want to prove that they're hotter than every other girl. It was just a massive competition. My wife was with me, and she said, look at these girls. They don't even care what men think. They're all dressing for each other. They're all checking each other out and like comparing dresses and everything. There's a ton of hot, hot, hot women at this very cool nightclub in Hollywood last night. I spent the majority of the evening hanging out with Chris Harrison talking about The Bachelor.
Wow!
Yeah. May have been the gayest night of my life.
Wow!
Yeah.
It's not because your wife was there. You would have done that anyway.
But Desiree's coming back!
Wow!
It's very exciting to have Des back, don't you think?
What a massive tool you are.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
What a waste of a party invite.
I think the 27th. I think the 27th it comes out.
Wow!
Who else on the 100 list was there, Ralph?
I only saw Miley.
Wow.
That's it?
That's
but look, you have no idea what this party was like. It was
just wall-to-wall
take
packed with
everyone
people.
Is going to be at Weenie Roast this weekend.
Right.
And put them in a room the size of this studio.
Okay.
Okay.
And then turn off the lights. And then give everybody a drink. And then you try to find anybody anywhere. It was just madness. It was just chaos.
And then there was the poor bachelor trying to walk around the room with you hanging onto his ankle.
Sean was there with Catherine, but I did not see The Bachelor himself. I was there with Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor.
Oh, okay.
We had a good time. But I, you know, it's not true because I did see Danielle Fishel.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Right. Her. She's lovely and charming as always. She wants to come on the show, so we'll have to make that happen sometime soon.
She is hotter than Miley Cyrus?
Much, 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 and looked great last night.
So there were a lot of girls that aren't on the list and nobody knows that were there last night that are hotter than the number one girl.
Easily. Easily. Brandon Craig Robinson.
Oh, all right. He's hotter than Miley Cyrus.
He is. I was more attracted to him than I was Miley Cyrus. Anyway, it was a good time last night. Speaking of hot chicks, People Magazine reporting that Angelina Jolie has decided to now remove her ovaries in addition to her preventative double mastectomy. This is also a cautionary measure because, of course, she does have that faulty gene, the BRCA1 gene, that gave her an 87% chance of getting breast cancer. Also raises the likelihood of getting ovarian cancer as well in women. This is what her mother passed away from.
Wow.
So she is taking that cautionary measure as always. She is.
Well, I'm not being insensitive at all here.
No.
She's not going to have any more kids, right? Anyway, so.
Right.
Right.
It's not going to be. That's not going to be a huge factor in her
now,
life.
No, some doctors recommend that patients undergo the surgery by the age of 40 or when the woman is done having children. One side effect, they say, may trigger early menopause, but other than that, they don't really have that many bad side effects.
But she's done now, right?
I mean, she's going to stop lopping parts off of her, is that what you're saying?
It's not a daily thing, is it?
I believe so. I think her cancer risk now is reduced significantly that she doesn't have to...
Take my liver!
...take anything else out, which is good. Lindsay Vonn, you know her?
Yes.
Olympic skier?
Sure.
Reportedly talking marriage with Tiger Woods.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, he's marriage material.
He really is. He is the perfect husband. Oh, wait a minute. How is she going to ensure he'll stay faithful, people ask? Well, sources tell the National Enquirer, so take it for what it's worth, that they're going to work out a prenup where Lindsay would get half of his fortune if they split up and a $20 million paycheck if he cheats. A $20 million cheating clause.
How do you work your way through that kind of negotiating at the beginning of a relationship?
Honey, I love you, but if you cheat on me, you're going to give me $20 million, okay? Okay, love you. Maybe, bye-bye. Kisses.
Maybe don't marry that guy, yeah. Is all I'm saying.
And unless I'm say, you really want $20 million. Yeah, well, that's a good investment.
You pay and it. I'm going to say, from the guy's perspective, maybe don't marry that girl.
Ooh, no you didn't.
I think she's got a little more to be worried about than him, though. I mean...
Yeah, but I'm saying if I'm Tiger in this case, I'm saying I'm not putting myself in that situation where I'm out another $20 million in addition to half of my fortune. I'm just not going to marry you.
Because you know about all the girls in all the cities.
So if those are your terms, then I'll pass.
Are you saying you're angry if you're Tiger because you don't trust me, honey? Or are you smart if you're Tiger because you know you can't be faithful?
Exactly.
Number two, B.
Why put yourself in that situation?
So you're saying even if you don't get married at all if you're Tiger, not just Lindsey Vonn. I see what
exactly.
You're saying.
Even if you don't plan to cheat, don't put yourself in that situation where if you do, then it's going to cost you that much.
I would like to congratulate Bean on his latest art acquisition.
I didn't realize he was in the market for art.
Well, you know how he loves the art. He's got the giant O.J. Simpson penis picture.
That's right.
He's got the John Wayne Gacy paintings throughout his home.
He does love the human killer stuff.
He loves twisted art, and yeah. I'm surprised being paid this much, but I think it's well worth it. Last night at a Christie's auction in New York City, a painting went for nearly $2 million by artist John Curran. It was a topless portrait of the late star of Golden Girls, Bea Arthur.
Yeah!
The kids don't love Bea Arthur.
A topless portrait of Bea Arthur. Bea Arthur showing her cans.
I'm sorry, how much?
$2 million.
What percentage of our audience do you think has a mental picture of Bea Arthur in their mind right now?
Golden Girls wasn't that long ago.
It's no, still that's in reruns. Right, one at the most. That's ridiculous.
I don't think anyone said one. Who are you agreeing
with? Well, I'm agreeing with myself.
Oh, I see.
It has been, that photo has been my Twitter avatar since Sunday, first of all. So anyone who follows me on Twitter has certainly seen Bea Arthur's naked boobs. But the thing that amazes me, Ralph, is it looks like a thrift store painting. It looks like something you would buy at the Salvation Army for $35.
Right.
It went for $2 million?
Yes.
That's absurd.
Yeah. It's art, Kevin. The painting is visually lasting, according to experts, and it is it's historically significant because it's radical in its sexualization someone thinks of as asexual. You see? You see the artistic merit therein?
No.
You don't get it, man. You weren't there.
I wasn't there. That's true. That's safe to say.
I don't get it either.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Megan Fox is 27 years old today. I'll take Nick a pen to Megan Fox. Put it on my party bus. Wee Man is 40 years old today. Tori Spelling, also 40. My fellow Philly boy, David Boreanaz. Bones from The Bones Show. He's Booth, actually, on The Bones Show. 44 years old today. Janet Jackson. Woo! He's 47 years old. Chris Novoselic, formerly of Nirvana, of course. 48 years old today. Actor Pierce Brosnan. One of our James Bonds is 60 years old. And Danny Trejo. He plays a little character in the movies called Machete.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete. Happy
birthday. This is Machete. Happy birthday, Machete.
He is 69 years old today. Can you believe he's 69? He looks great for 69.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah.
He looks great at any age. I'm scared of that guy.
Oh, I see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got a brand new round of Beer Mug red carpet interviews from Star Trek Into Darkness coming up for you in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show. Very excited about that. First, though, one of my favorite actors in the world on the phone. He terrifies me week to week on Boardwalk Empire playing Prohibition agent Nelson Van Alden. And now he's going to terrify me on the big screen playing a real-life contract killer. The movie is called Iceman in theaters. Now, Michael Shannon, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Kevin Amin Show. Mr. Shannon, good morning, sir. What an honor.
Thank you. Thanks for the warm embrace.
Well, I mean it very much, and I can't even imagine, even with the kind of roles you've played in the past, and you've played some bad guys, I can't imagine getting inside the head of this Richard Kolkinski. Tell people about him who may not recognize the name.
Yeah, you know, Kuklinski was a contract killer. He could work with any of the mob families in the New Jersey, New York area because he was Polish, so he was never going to be indoctrinated or made into any one particular family. So because of his ability to work with anybody, he was very prolific. He managed to kill quite a few people, some guess between 100 and 200. There's no exact figure there. Yeah.
That's so crazy. It seems like these days, I guess it isn't these days, it was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, right?
Yes.
But getting away with one murder seems like it's almost impossible. This guy just walks through life killing people and never gets, you know, found up until 200 murders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm highly suspicious that he made it to 200. It's a very vague thing. But you know, he really studied it. I mean, it was an art to him, and he had a buddy, not a buddy, but a fellow. Killer named Mr. Freezy, Robert Prongay. And they would literally talk about ways to how they could kill people without any fuss, any mess, any noise. They were working with things like cyanide. They were experimenting with, like, they would act like they were sneezing. There's even a scene in the film where it just seems like they're sneezing on you, and it's actually a little bottle with cyanide, and
you wind up dying.
You don't even know what happened. Yeah. So
wow.
They were really looking for ways to perfect the whole act and make very hard to trace.
Did he? He was just a mercenary. In other words, he didn't care what the story was. He didn't make any kind of judgment calls about whether this person deserved to die. If you paid him, he would kill somebody for you. Pretty much, no questions asked. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the three things that stick out in my mind that he said is, you know, he wouldn't mess with women or children, like he wouldn't do that.
Right.
And the second thing he said is, if I didn't do it, somebody else would have. Because, you know, he's not the only hitman in the history of New Jersey and New York.
Right, certainly.
Several thousand of them.
Right, right.
And the third thing he said is, you know, it's not like I was going around killing Boy Scouts, you know, I mean... Pretty much, most of the dudes I whacked were getting whacked for a reason. They weren't the best. Not that that justifies behavior, but
right.
Of course.
So it's got a great cast. You got Winona Ryder. You got Chris Evans. But what's it like working with Ray Liotta? He has always fascinated me. He seems so great in this type of movie.
He's really electrifying. You know, you just never really know what he's going to do. He really kept me on my toes, and he's very frightening. Like, I needed somebody in that part that could intimidate me.
That scares you.
And there aren't a lot of dudes in the world that I'm intimidated by.
No, I can imagine there aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the voice of actor Michael Shannon here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his new film that just looks amazing, called The Iceman, in theaters now. This is a powerful mustache you're sporting for part of this movie, Michael. What was that like? Yeah. That's really going through life looking different.
You remember that when I was a kid, there was this thing, it was a face with these metal filings in a case, and you could drag this little, like, magnetic pencil around and
yes.
do different patterns on the face.
Yeah. Woolly Willy? That was the name? Woolly Willy?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like, because I had so many different types of facial hair. Like, there was this just sideburns period. Then there was the sideburns with the goatee. Then there was the sideburns with the mustache, the little soul patch thing. I mean, I spent more time getting fake facial hair glued to my face than I did, you know, actually acting in the movie. Like, two separate experiences.
Well, America went through some funky facial hair periods in the 1960s and 70s and into the 80s, and you had to live through all of them. Well, we can't wait to go see this movie. As we mentioned, great cast, and anytime you're in it, we'll take a look. It's called The Iceman. It's available now, and we'll look forward to Boardwalk Empire coming back later in the year. Again, thanks for the time, Mr. Shannon. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
We were speculating yesterday, because none of us know anything about the K-Rock Weenie Roast and what it was going to be like if you weren't there, if you didn't have tickets but still wanted to see the show, what was available to you. Well, I have great news, guys. The Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, about 12 other bands will once again be webcast live and uncut this Saturday beginning at noon. You can watch the entire show at krock.com through the comfort of your own home, and you'll have access to a new exclusive 360 camera. Check this out, Kevin. This allows you to control your own onstage camera for the main stage.
Yeah, it's cool. It's super cool. They used that at Coachella for a couple of years, and you can literally just with your mouse, you can move around and see what you want to see.
But how do you know about their penises?
What?
How do you know about their penises? Being said, they're uncut.
Anyway, the live webcast starts Saturday at noon. Go to krock.com for that and all the details as well.
Red carpet, world premiere, Star Trek Into Darkness.
That's what I'm talking about. This time I did it great.
I think I did all right this time.
That's what Beer Mug said.
I nailed it.
Beer Mug came and told us that, and that's really a dumb thing to say. Even if you nailed it, you don't say you nailed it. Right. You let somebody else discover that you nailed
it. And what are the
odds? Hey, everybody, Beer Mug here. World carpet, world premiere.
All right. Yeah.
So far, nailed it.
Nailed it.
World carpet.
So it's a world carpet world premiere of Star Trek Into Darkness, and the first guy that Muggs interviews is the costume designer. And listen
creature designer.
Fine. Listen to how quickly Beer Mug changes the interview from "Tell me about the process" to "Let's talk about me."
I like creatures.
I'm here with Neville Page, the lead creature designer for Star Trek Into Darkness.
Star Trek. I'm sorry. What's the name of it? Muggs.
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Okay, that's a completely different movie.
I like Star Trek.
Tell me a little bit about the creature design in this movie and how painstaking it was for you.
It wasn't painstaking.
Really? I couldn't hold a flame to any kind of makeup design. I mean, I play with the little the Halloween effects makeup, but that's it. That counts.
Oh, that guy's trying to be so nice to Muggs.
It is nice.
You know what I do?
I can't hold a flame to anything, first of all. And then I play with my makeup.
How he turned that into something about him?
You do it professionally and have a lot of interesting stories, but I make up things for Halloween.
Let's talk about me.
Unreal.
Oh my God. So the costume poor creature designer moves on, and then a Marine stops by, and somebody else. What was the charity? Because you didn't mention it. You still don't know. All right.
It's called Mission Completed, by the way.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a charity that takes care of a lot of post 9/11 vets in all four armed services.
All right, here's Muggs in his sensitive interview with these guys.
I already feel like the most horrible person in the world standing next to these gentlemen, Eric and Adam. This man started amazing charity, and this gentleman fought in the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah! That's insane.
Well,
insane?
We got nothing out of that. nothing was insane. Was offered.
And then they said,
"What could they say?"
What
and
happened?
Then, if you put the microphone in their mouth, you would say,
"The thing that I'm going to take away from Star Trek Into Darkness is you two gentlemen, because right now you guys are the biggest people here in my heart. You guys hold special in my heart."
As long as they hold special in your heart.
And then they said,
"We knew Beer Mug had an enlarged heart, and now we know why. It's because those guys are the biggest in his heart."
The thing that I'm going to take away from Star Trek Into Darkness is you two gentlemen, because right now you guys are the biggest people here in my heart. You guys hold special in my heart.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. I thought it was the meatball subs that contributed to the large chart. Hey, look, no one has more respect for men and women in the military than I do, Muggs, but why is it insane that that guy's in the Marines? Why is that insane?
Well, you were the Marines. That's insane.
Warfare is not sane. Warfare is crazy. And I think
so. You're going for deeper meaning.
You got that from your tour of
Afghanistan.
From your insightful interview with these gentlemen, is that what you got from them?
You didn't let them speak. It would have been nice to hear a word. Yeah. Maybe
thanks. I don't even know if they existed.
I don't even know if there was anyone there.
Based on this.
The video is up, by the way. If you want to go to kevinandbeat.com, you can see the video of
yes, please,
of Beer Mugs. Now, do we really want Mugs interviewing guests before we get them? Like, we have John Cho coming in.
Yes.
Today.
Uh-oh.
Well, at least we know he won't burn through any questions that we'd ask.
That's true. How dare you? Come on, come on, John.
106.7 KROQ.
There you go. He knows the real radio station. He knows the real radio station.
What's on the playlist? I'm going to throw to Blink 187 right now.
Yeah, well, Blink 182.
All right, Blink 187 is a different thing altogether. But
hey, let's play Sabotage. That's from the first Star Trek.
That is right. All right, we're going to get some Sabotage.
I just brought it back, bitches.
Bitches?
What are you doing, Muggs?
I'm his hype man, I think.
You're John Jones' hype man?
I think it's, yeah.
He said, first of all, he took a request. That's odd. On the red carpet. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
He just started going.
Why would you say we're going to get to that?
I don't know.
But you know,
are you
what,
playing music for the red carpet? No, oh. Not at all.
You know what Muggs is not doing on the world carpet of Star Trek is interviewing anybody. He's not actually asking any questions.
All right, now here's a question. And Bean, how many interviews have we done in our lives?
Thousands. Oh, that's the end of question?
Yeah,
of course. Thousands and thousands.
Have we ever had a reason to ask this question? And then he does it of John Cho.
John Cho. John. John, smell me. Smell me.
What the hell? Why? How is that? What's?
I can't.
In what circumstance?
Well, let's think
God,
about
it. Smell me. Smell me.
Let's think if we can think of any reason. There's no Star Trek perfume that's debuting on that night or anything.
What would?
Oh, DeSulu?
How come you would say smell me?
I don't know. I can't
really.
What? No, you don't have a reason.
There's no reason and you said smell me?
You think a question you ask of a celebrity like that would stick with you? You know why you say that.
There had to be a reason behind smell me. B, we got to put that in the rotation. Michael Shannon, smell me. All right, so that's John Cho. We got that out of John Cho from Muggs.
Wow.
All right. And then J.J. Abrams stopped by. The great director,
please don't
J.
let
J.
him
Abrams.
Do this.
And,
no.
And Muggs interviews him.
John, smell me. Smell me.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was John Smell Me again.
J.J., how's the victory going to taste when Star Trek takes the box office this weekend?
How's the victory going to taste?
It's a good question.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Because no. Victory only has one taste, which we all know is sweet.
Awesome.
You should say, is it going to be sweet?
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. You say, how's it going to taste?
All right. How will you feel when you're number one at the box office this weekend? How's your victory going to taste? More importantly, how's it going to smell?
Most importantly, smell me.
Smell me. Do I smell like victory?
JJ, how's the victory going to taste when Star Trek takes the box office this weekend?
God bless you, sir. That is my answer to that. God bless you. And the United States of America.
Yes, sir. J.J. Abrams just blessed me from God. My life is complete.
Does that mean your life can end?
No, please.
How dare you. When we ask questions in an interview setting, it's usually because we're hoping that there will be an answer coming that is interesting to the audience.
Sure.
What did you expect J.J. Abrams was going to say to that question?
The red carpet environment is a rushed environment.
Right.
And I think I just...
Yeah, that's why some people would prepare their questions in advance.
How's it going to taste when you're number one?
Preparation is not for me.
And then
Preparation H.
Yeah.
And then he wraps it up.
All right, so that's it. Star Trek Into Darkness. J.J. is going to walk in. He's going to watch his masterpiece. I'm going to go see it. Check it out. It's in theaters Friday.
Nope. Tomorrow. Today.
See you. Long live and prosper. Over and out.
Long live and prosper.
I think I said long liver prosper.
Long liver prosper.
Couldn't even get the catchphrase right.
And it's not in theaters Friday. It's in theaters today. And you didn't go in and see it.
Right.
And it's live long and prosper.
Right.
Everything was
nothing,
a lie.
Nothing was true in that sentence.
In his defense, in Star Trek, they do say long live and prosper.
That's true. Right. And smell me is also part of
it. All right, so there you have it. Red carpet world premiere of Star Trek Into Darkness in theaters on Friday.
Yep.
Live long and prosper, bitches.
Yeah, so, don't try to get tough now.
No, trying to be all tough. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Live long and smell me, bitches.
Now how do you think you did?
I totally messed that up.
Nope, you did not. You were perfect. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:55.
You guys hold special in my heart.
Long liver and prosper, bitches.
All right. Speaking of the Star Trek world premiere, that movie does come out today. And our friend John Cho joins us in studio in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's Mr. Sulu, don't you know? Right now, Ralph's got
Sulu.
Ralph has the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Angelina Jolie, according to People Magazine, has now decided to remove her ovaries in addition to the preventative double mastectomy she recently had. This, again, is a cautionary measure to keep her from getting cancer. She does have that faulty gene, the BRCA1 gene, that gave her an 87% chance of getting breast cancer. The gene is also connected according to researchers, to a higher likelihood to get ovarian cancer as well, which was what took Angelina Jolie's mother's life at the age of 56. So she has decided to remove her ovaries as well, since she is done having children. But she could always adopt, too, because she does that often as well.
She's great at that.
She is really good at that. In a related story, this email comes from listener Mike. He says, finally, the Kevin and Bean Show has something in common with Angelina Jolie. You both have a faulty gene.
Hey!
Because that's Bean's real name!
Bean's name!
He's faulty!
Say what?
Well done, Mike. Interesting data from Stitcher Radio. Familiar with the Stitcher app?
Sure.
People
use it all the time.
Stitcher to listen to different content from, be it webcast. I know the podcast, rather, I do with Kevin Smith. Hollywood Babylon's on Stitcher, and you can also listen to a lot of radio stations and things like that. Interesting data from a poll done by Stitcher users. 81% of adults always or mostly watch or listen to their entertainment programs on demand. 81%.
Wow.
Say they always do it or mostly do it.
Hmm.
18 to 34-year-olds are twice as likely to watch television on demand as those who are 55-plus, which explains why CBS does so well in the ratings.
Oh,
they're the only ones watching real television anymore.
That's true.
And also 60% of those surveyed responded that AM, FM radio will be dead in 5 years. So that's good.
All right.
That's great. If anybody's listening out there has a job opportunity, I'm casting my...
We're going to ride this right into the grave.
I'm casting my rod and reel into the water now, looking for another.
You're holding your rod.
No, I got to cast my rod.
Okay.
It's the only way I'm going to get a job is to cast my rod around out there. Fans of Billy Joe Armstrong and Green Day will be happy to know he has just joined forces with California skateboard legend Jim Thiebaud. They are developing a line of custom boards based on art from their new albums, Uno, Dos, and Trey. All the money raised will be given to the Children's Hospital and Research Center in Oakland, California.
All right.
Apparently, Billy Joe and Jim are longtime friends, and they're using the Green Day's album art for the board designs as part of the Real Skateboards line, which will be sold at skate shops and online. Billy Joe's sister works at the hospital.
Oh, no kidding.
So she's the one who suggested the project, and that's what they're raising money for. It's a fine cause.
That's cool.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Trejo. He's Machete, you know. Machete.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete.
This is Machete.
Hey, how you doing, Machete?
This is Machete.
This is also Machete.
I wish I had more.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete. He is 69 years old today. Pierce Brosnan, of course, was James Bond. 60 years old
this
today.
This is Machete.
No, Pierce Brosnan was not Machete. Chris Novoselic, 48 years old today. Janet Jackson, 47 years old today. David Boreanaz. Booth from Bones. Of course, he was also Angel on Buffy, 44 years old today. Tori Spelling turns 40. Wee Man, Jason Acuna, is 40 years old.
Remember how great he was at April Foolishness last year? Wee Man. Oh, my God. He just comes out.
Brad Williams, different.
Comedian.
He tells different jokes, little person, different
dances.
Little person.
I'd recognize Brad Williams anywhere. Come on.
Megan Fox, the actress, is 27 years old today. I'm Ralph
Garman. Have you seen any of the stills of her from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, jumping up and down on a trampoline, Ralph?
No.
Seen that?
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
Just do a little research.
That may be a must-see.
We'll look into that.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Just get my zipper. I'll be right back. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you want to see a guy banging on an impossibly large drum, Imagine Dragons is the band for you. They're going to be on stage Saturday with us at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013, along with the Black Keys and 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, so much more. Of course, you can win tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show just after 9. And don't forget, go to K-Rock.com for all the details and how you can watch the webcast for free at K-Rock.com if you're not able to be there in person.
So I spent this past Saturday at Disneyland with my family. Came in from Phoenix. They were all excited. Mm-hmm. Little nephew, first time he's ever been there.
It's always fun with little kids.
Yes. And I heard about a VIP guide that will get you to the front of the line. So I checked into it. It's like $380 an hour. An hour.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is crazy. A service that Disney offers, right? That they walk you around and just walk you to the front of all the rides.
So I thought, we'll stand in line. Thank you very much.
God almighty.
But I didn't know about the black market Disney guides.
Well, this is a new scoop that the New York Post, of all places, broke a story. They actually spoke with a woman who uses it and says all of her friends do, too. This is how the 1% are doing, in their case, Disney World. That's where they go on the East Coast. Lisa, you're not going to believe this, but you pay $130 an hour, which, by the way, comes to over a grand for an eight-hour day, and you are hiring a disabled person to pose as a family member so that your kids and you can jump to the front of the line.
It's for reals.
Oh, my God.
And the person that was that they were talking to, this mother, this Manhattan mom, was telling them the scoop.
She's not at all
admitted that she hired him and gave him the guy's name.
She said you can't go to Disney without a tour concierge. Yes, you hire a disabled person, motorized scooter, handicap sign. You get straight to, you know, into the park. You don't wait for anything. You just it's first class.
Six people per wheelchair.
Right.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it'd be her and her daughter and her son and her husband, whoever.
You know, I've heard of people like faking an injury.
No one would ever do that.
And coming in with a wheelchair to do this, but I had no idea you actually hired.
It's much
nice work for the disabled.
Well, true.
But
if they want to go on the rides.
But I hate this.
Yeah, it's not.
You're right. It's very controversial, Lisa. It is not settling right with a lot of people. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, could you set us up with somebody from the Dream Tours Company? And I believe we have Mr. Michael Haber on the line with us right now. Mr. Haber, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hey, Dream Tours. How you doing?
We're good.
Well,
we provide the tragic so you can see the magic. How can I help you today?
Well, we just wanted to find out a little bit more about your service. I mean, if you heard us on hold, this article from the New York Post is accurate. This is what you offer?
Absolutely. Listen, for $130 an hour, you're saving a lot of money when it comes to tour guides, because Disney, they'll stick you for $310, $380 per hour.
Right.
Know? So listen, it's half the price. Half the price, and you get yourself your own disabled person and get you in front of the lines. It's a good deal, in my opinion.
But isn't it kind of taking a disabled person and using them as a prop for your own amusement?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. $130 an hour, you don't have to wait in line for Space Mountain or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
You know, everybody wins here. The disabled person, they make a few bucks. You get to take your kids, in half the time it would take you to see Disney World or Disneyland.
Right.
And everybody goes home a winner.
Right, but I think what's striking people as unfair is that the rest of us aren't doing that. We're waiting in line because we're able-bodied people and we can wait in line, and you're kind of cheating the system if you hire somebody to get you up to the front.
Well, we're not really cheating the system because these people are generally disabled. I got certificates of authenticity about each of their disabilities, so these people actually need to go to the front of the line. If you just happen to be tagging along, well, better for you. You know what I'm saying, my friend?
Who provides a certificate of authenticity?
We do here at Dream Tours. We give you some sort of GIMP. You make sure you got the authenticity, so you don't have to feel bad. Oh, this guy's pretending. No, these are all genuine disabled people.
Well, I think that makes you feel worse.
Right. This is people who really deserve to go to the front of the line. This isn't some jackholes pretending to be, oh, my foot hurts, put me in a wheelchair. This guy, we got a guy with like a prolapsed anus, for God's sakes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he sat on a pool drain.
No.
At the bottom of the pool, and it pulled his insides out. So now he carries him around in a bag. We got him. You can have him for cheap, actually, because nobody really wants to hang out with a guy with a prolapsed anus.
No, that seems like...
Yeah, a guy with his butt in his bag. You don't want to hang out with that
$100, you know, the guy will carry. It's a nice bag. It's a coach. It's a nice coach bag.
Okay,
it's
well...
Nice leather bag he keeps his anus in. And he's, you carry it around, and he'll take you to the front of the line, and boom, there you go. Next thing you know, it's a small world after all.
Yeah.
Except what, for him, because he's got a big anus hanging out of his butt.
Right.
How many different, God, I can't believe I'm about to ask you this question, Mr. Haber, but how many different kinds of disabled people do you offer? Do we get to choose what kind we get?
Well, it's all down to availability. Our tours are very busy all the time. We're getting calls all the time, so sometimes you have to take what's available. But we have a wide variety of disabilities you can choose from.
Okay.
Many people, like Lois, she works a lot. Lois, she lost half her foot in a bear trap. Not only is it a great disability, get to your front of the line, but it's a great story, too. Not a lot of broads have lost their feet in bear traps.
That's
true. That much.
Did you make that up, or is that the real... Okay.
That's actually her... I'll tell you, I got certificates of authenticity.
I forgot about that.
Making stuff up.
Kevin, you can't argue with a certificate of authenticity. Come on.
We got Brian. He lost one of his nuts in an industrial baking accident.
I'm not sure how that would even happen.
He got his scrotum stuck in a dough kneader.
Oh.
Yeah. It flattened out his nut.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Now it's a donut. Hey, but I want to tell you, we got colostomies, we got tracheotomies. What do you need?
Not a tracheotomy. I do not want a tracheotomy.
No.
I got a special right now on a guy named Phil. He's got brain damage from syphilis. You don't run across that very often. Do not bring him around if your kids are friendly. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to be around Phil. He's a little, you know, he's a little mental. And don't use one of our tracheotomy people if you're trying to eat lunch there at the Magic Kingdom.
Because, yeah, that could be rough.
Sometimes, you know, a piece of churro come out of the blowhole or whatever.
Okay. You know what? We're just gonna leave it there, Mr. Haver. We appreciate the update.
So
good luck.
What are you down for? What do you guys
We need? Don't want anything. Thank
no,
you.
No, we're going to pass.
We got a guy with a bad stomach over here. You want to talk to him?
We do
no,
not.
No, we really don't.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Alan,
we don't want Alan. We're not interested in Alan.
We're hanging up.
We
don't want Alan.
We actually have to go.
Oh, come on. Really? Put the trach. Oh, really?
This have to happen.
You do not want that guy at Disney World.
I'll tell you, the line parts right away when he comes through.
Hey.
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 I feel like we're losing the enthusiasm
a
for that.
Bit.
I do too.
It's World Famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Star Trek Into Darkness opens everywhere today, directed by the great J.J. Abrams. We couldn't be more excited to welcome our old friend John Cho back into the studio here on the World Famous K-Rock. He is Lieutenant Sulu. Hey, John.
Hey, long liver prosper.
Long liver prosper,
long liver prosper. Sounds like an Asian slur somehow. I don't know why.
I feel like the first order of business every time we have a guest such as yourself in, Mr. Cho, is that we need to apologize for Beer Mug's behavior on the red carpet, because we just cringe when he's talking to one of the people that we know and like. We're just worried that he's going to burn a bridge for us or something.
Yeah, he's not a good representative for your station.
That is true.
Unprofessional.
That's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
But we appreciate you being honest
about
that.
And stank to high heaven.
Is that why he asked you to smell him?
Yes.
And what did he smell like?
I told him Jameson.
Jameson. All right. Yeah.
Is that accurate, Beer Mug? Is that what was going on that night at the premiere?
I'm a Jack Daniels guy, but close.
How many premieres do you have to do for a huge movie like this that's going to play in every country in the world? I imagine they work you like
several.
A dog.
You know, this is not a glamorous story. The LA premiere was my first one because I had some my kids were sick. But in general, you go, I would say, a handful. They don't do premieres in every city. They're screenings.
Handful meaning 4 to 6?
Yes.
Okay.
Right around there.
Five.
Four, five.
Sorry.
3 to 5? I just looked at my hand.
that's still a lot of walking up and down and talking to 200 members of the media asking you, hey, what's it like to play Sulu, right? I mean, that does wear you down.
It does. It can, but it you know, there are fans there. It's also fun to see what different countries are interested in, you know, like, and it's different, like Japanese media, the Japanese premieres are like, super organized. Wow, stereotypes.
Really?
That's
a surprise.
Super organized, super polite, super, there's no, hey, it's like, hello. And one at a time.
Wow.
And
everybody else waits their turn.
That's right.
That's not the way it is here.
In Berlin, Berlin and Austria, they kept wanting to know, so, what celebrity do you think is an alien?
That was
Are you serious?
I got that question many times.
Really?
And they said, do you believe in life out there? And it kept coming up again and again. They really
And this was
it.
Because the movie is Star Trek, because it involves space travel? That's why they were asking?
See, I'm not sure. See, I think they may just ask it for any movie.
But they
ask
that.
This is 40 premiere.
Harold and Kumar, they ask you that?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean,
I wonder if those countries are just obsessed with UFOs or something.
Did you come up with a pat answer? The celebrity that you kept going to?
Hasselhoff is clearly an alien.
Oh, good one.
Clearly.
Good one. John, you've been a fortunate working actor for a long time now. You've been in lots and lots of movies.
Knocking wood.
Lots and lots of TV. But I would imagine that Star Trek is different from everything else you do just because of the history, because of the legacy, because of the familiarity across the world. And you have to feel like you're part of something special, something bigger than yourself when you're in a movie like Star Trek, right?
Well said. Yeah, I do feel like I am part of something much bigger than myself. It's been really overwhelming to meet multi-generations of fans, you know, and people that come up together and say, you know, this is my son, and I introduced him to the series. And so you feel small in the presence of something that big. And but, you know, I feel privileged and honored. I really do. It's insane how much it means to people.
It's got to be just bizarre to be on the
you know, Starship Enterprise and
yeah,
it's like, got to feel like school.
You got to feel like a kid. You got to feel like a little kid too. Like, I can't believe I'm play acting this.
Right, and you're in the costume and you're walking onto a set. The first time I walked onto the set, it was like walking into a cathedral or something, and you're in this suit that you recognize, and it's so strange. And then you walk onto a set that is new but familiar,
right.
And it's exciting, mm-hmm. And smells good. no, it's unbelievable.
Do you have a relationship at all with Mr. Takei?
Yeah, actually, George Takei is on the board of directors at a theater company that I started acting at.
Oh, no kidding.
So we go back a ways, and we weren't close or anything, but I was familiar with – we were familiar with each other. So he's mm-hmm. been really great, and when I got the role, I asked to sit down with him and you know, try to get his blessing, and he was – very kind.
Which you didn't have to do, clearly, but you were being nice, right?
No.
Did he...
he was the one being nice, yeah.
Did he give you any tips, any thoughts, or did he just say good luck?
It was... You know, he was... what he did primarily was... And I thank him for it. He kind of reminded me what Roddenberry's intentions were all the time. And, for instance, I was really concerned. He was... I said, I'm Korean, you're Japanese. I don't know whether people are going to be cool with that. Are they? Is that all right? And he said, he told me, for instance, that Sulu was named after a sea that touches several Asian shores, and that that Roddenberry meant to have every continent represented on the bridge of the Enterprise. And you say, hey, don't think about borders, don't think about nations. That's actually... against what Star Trek stands for.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah. And I also I also wonder, and I don't want to get too deep.
Did you just do an impression?
Yeah, I did.
Can I hear it again?
Oh my. Is it good? Anyone turned on? Anyone turned on at all?
I am.
Out there?
I'm sorry to
call
say.
In.
I don't want to get too deep here. Then we got to take a break with John Cho talking Star Trek Into Darkness, opening in theaters everywhere today. But I wonder if also Star Trek being set, 400 years in the future, whatever it is, that if there'll be no such thing as a difference between Koreans and Japanese, because it's just going to be Earth. You're just going to be an Earth person. It's just going to be you're a human
from
Earth.
You're right. Of course.
This is all too deep for me.
You'd just be an Earthling, yeah.
What celebrity do you think is an alien?
Hasselhoff? Hasselhoff.
All right. More with John when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It is 7:36. We have John Cho in the studio with us from Star Trek Into Darkness.
Introductus. Hey, we were talking
about Danny Trejo, by the way.
Yes.
He's a good man.
He is.
He's a
69?
Great man.
Yeah, not
Holy
possible.
Criminy.
I know. Yeah. It's really kind of
bizarre.
Shocking.
This is Machete.
He does. You have to be nice to him because you feel like he could kill you really with one finger. He's so tough. But he's the sweetest man in the world.
I know. But you seen his... I mean, you've seen his body.
There's, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
The artwork on it, you mean?
The artwork on it. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Just clarifying there. Just wanted to make sure we were talking about the same thing.
Wink, wink.
You know, the last time we had him in, John, and then we're going to get back to Star Trek Into Darkness here, which is why John is here. The movie's in theaters everywhere today. The last time we had him in, he was promoting a film that he was in about the art of tattooing, Southern California tattooing, which was just fascinating. And he told us about all the tattoos that he got in prison. That's how they started. Yeah. The guys who learn how to do and using the available tools to be able to make, you know, tattoos, and some of them were just gorgeous in prison. It was
what
pretty,
were they using?
Pretty astonishing.
How could they get their hands on this stuff?
I don't know.
I think they were using a like a Bic pen or something like that is what they ended up using as the needle. But then they figured out I don't know. I don't remember all the details, but they figured out ways to make color and turn it into different shades and stuff, and just did amazing work. But he's an expert on tattoos.
Right? Exactly. Right.
You're calling him a wuss?
That's No.
Way
happy birthday.
Bold of you.
You mentioned the International Space Station. Is that what you mentioned during this commercial?
Yeah, we're talking to an astronaut named Chris Cassidy, who's up in the space station. We're going to do a chat later today with him, a live chat.
They sent the movie up to the space station last week. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
That's
did they?
That's so cool.
Yeah, so they
wow.
haven't
seen it.
Yeah, they got a few. They got it a few days early. They sent it. I don't know how they send stuff up and down, but apparently the guys had it up there on their laptop, so they may have already seen it.
That's
which is pretty
nuts.
Cool.
This is not realistic at all.
That's going to be the beginning of the chat.
And I would imagine that Star
Grumpy
Trek.
Up there.
I would imagine that a lot of astronauts probably got the space itch from watching Star Trek back in the day.
May I tell you a story?
Sure. Yes, please.
You know, I was with my boy. I have a 5-year-old, and we were a couple of years ago. We were up at the Griffith Observatory. And my family, we walked up to one of the big telescopes, and it was closed to the public, and we started turning around. There was a guy working in there, and he says, "No, stop." And he said, "Come on in." And he was an astronomer and told me that Star Trek was what made him become an astronomer.
No kidding.
And so he said, "Come on in," and he gave us a personal tour, and we looked through the telescope, and it was... it was maybe, you know, it started, we were talking before about being connected to something big, and that was one of those moments where you feel like, wow, I'm connected to such, this universe that I've been a part of now is unbelievable.
But you're reaping the benefit of other people's work 30
that's
years
right.
ago when
this
he was
like
being
to do.
Influenced.
Well,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Will you ever be rich enough, John, to be one of the Hollywood douchebags that goes into space on Virgin?
I'm that's douchey enough. The rich part, I don't know.
J.J. Abrams is your director for this film. He's the guy you're going to be talking to the space station with later today. We marvel at him as a genius. Is he? What's he like as a director?
He is. First of all, he's undoubtedly a genius. I don't think I've worked with someone who has as complete a skill set. Because he's got the technical stuff down, he's got the storytelling part down. And
does he scream and yell and throw things? And
he leads with enthusiasm.
He does. All right.
He does. He leads with enthusiasm.
That's got to be cool.
Yeah, and I do think it was such a trick getting with our movie, getting a cast of this size to vibe with one another, and it starts with him. You know. I realized at some point, every scene the world is literally ending, and and he has this trick of, you know, keeping it very, very light, so that I think we can let off steam and then get back into it. But we do feel very close, and I think it's probably by his design.
Is it tough to corral that big a cast? You know, it seems like it would be that many people all working together on one project.
I think maybe for him, maybe we would be divas on other sets, but for him, we stuck close. And there was only, I think, the one moment of discipline he had on the first one was we had, I think we were on our 20th hour of a day, and we had gone to the loopy place, and we could not stop laughing during a scene. I can't remember. I think it was after the line, Spock's line, like, "I have a mother." And I don't know why, but we all could not
get
it together. And JJ just said, after, about 10 blown takes, he said, "I'm going to leave. I'll be back."
That was it.
As stern as we got, and we shook in our boots.
Oh, we disappointed Dad.
Yes, he's going to leave and then come back.
No! Really, those words don't mean much. But
what happens when he comes back?
I'm going to leave and come back with a gun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, machete.
John, you mentioned you have a 5-year-old. What have you been in that he can see?
Nothing.
Harold and Kumar.
So far, nothing. Although, I'm doing...
Does he understand what you do for a living?
I think he thinks that I drive to a place and sit in a trailer. And then I drive home.
Okay.
I think he thinks of it as an office with a refrigerator. And then I come home.
It's going to blow his mind when he sees Star Trek at some point, right?
Yeah, this is the one I'm excited about showing him, obviously. And actually, maybe this movie and perhaps in this movie in particular, Star Trek Into Darkness, because I think it was JJ said something during filming. He said, "I want to show this film to my boy." And I have to agree. I guess there's a lot of leadership issues. It might be of particular interest to fathers and sons.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does concern how to, you know, growing into a leadership role and becoming mature. So, yeah.
I have a Sulu question for you, and that is, when you're on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise, I'm talking about the characters now, does everybody look at the captain and go, well, he's good, but I could do that job? Is there any kind of a, you know, like in any other office situation, everybody thinks they could do a better job than the boss. Is there jockeying going on between, you know, like Sulu and Chekhov and guys like that who want to get moved up to, you know, to the captain's
chair? I think Sulu in particular is very ambitious. That's just my take on him, and right. I think he might think, yeah. I could do that. I think so. I don't know. You revealed my little secret.
What would George Takei say about it? He was taking a drink.
I could be better.
I think I cut you off, John. You were starting to say you're doing Sesame Street.
Yeah, I'm doing Sesame Street next week. I don't know if it's a secret or not. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it, but there it goes.
Too late.
Word of the day. I'm really excited, and I'm excited. I got a little daughter now, and so I suppose she'll see it. So,
do you know what your word is yet?
I think it's alcoholic.
All right.
Yeah.
That'll be a good lesson for the children. Look, they got to learn sometime.
Is it
right?
Possible it's multiple words like
long live and prosper?
Well, we can't wait for this film. It's out now, right? Like people
it's
are going
now.
To see it starting at 9:30 this morning or something?
Yeah. I think there were midnight showings last night. So
great.
Yeah, the weekend opening gets earlier every year.
Yeah, it sure does. Star Trek Into Darkness is the film, and I hate to ask this, but I mean, this is going to go on forever, right? They're in a meeting somewhere trying to figure out what the next movie is going to be about, I assume, right?
Yes, I think so. The night of the first cast screening, we did it at Bad Robot, and JJ and Bob Orsi and Alex Kurtzman left the screening. And,
did he say, I'm going to leave and I'll be back?
I'll be back. They went upstairs to have a meeting about it.
About the third one.
Yeah. So
isn't that crazy?
There's talk about it.
Never stops.
We'll see if it happens.
That's awesome. John, we love you, man. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate
guys.
The time. Wait, what happened now?
Just
what's
my,
happening?
My thanks to the listener who gave us a heads up to a moment with Kevin. We didn't even
come on
notice.
Here's if
the
you
problem.
Guys don't notice, it should just go by.
No, that's not the case at all. Because
come
we
on.
Have been so subjected to the radiation of your genius that I think we miss it because we're just so used to it. We've become.
But I got to agree with Kevin. If the foul isn't called by
right.
the ref, then it's not a foul.
Oh, really? Tell that to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, that's yeah. BS. This, you shouldn't be able to take a call about the referee.
This was the case where one of the viewers called in to the marshal and said, I think the ball was placed inappropriately.
Right.
So I want to thank the listener who sent the email and said, how did you guys miss this one when Kevin was talking to Dr. Ken Jeong?
Okay.
From Community and, of course, The Hangover. And Kevin was trying to ask him about parallel careers while he was being a doctor. Was he still acting? And it came out a little something like this.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come on.
That wasn't sad.
You want to let that one lie? You just want to leave that one alone?
Wow.
Can we hear that one more time?
I'd rather not.
Let's do it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well,
were
now
you being
I realize
a doctor?
That it must be really intimidating to talk to me.
Right.
You know, but underneath this genius, mm-hmm. I'm simply a human.
Right. Yeah. Were you acting while you're a doctor at that point at any?
I got to tell you, Ralph.
How did you guys not catch that?
Now that I've heard it, that is Kevin's Benghazi. It's something that he thought he was going to be able to sweep under the rug, but it's turned it out into biting
right?
the ass.
Right?
That was the right call. Thank you, listener. Thank you.
Yes. F you, listener.
Pretty spectacular. Hey, good news. You can now own the used bikini that Farrah Abraham wears on the cover of her sex tape.
Yep.
But I don't have to, right?
You have to, yes.
Oh,
it Farrah was, Abramson?
It was, that's right, Farrah Abramson.
Ooh, no, boo!
Wore a bikini.
Nope.
For a Farrah superstar backdoor teen mom.
That's
she wore it in the video.
Nope.
And also wears it on the cover of the video. It's now up on eBay.
Not interested.
Went up at midnight. Bid started $500. It is listed as used.
That isn't good for you.
No! No! No!
Right.
Sources say the bikini has not been washed since Farrah wore it.
Smells like donkey ass.
It shows overt signs of wear.
Nope.
Including fake tanner stains and glitter from Farrah's body lotion.
That is not
what?
Fake.
No, 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 no.
Fake tanner spray.
As the listing says, Farrah's bikini, straight off Farrah's body, into your hands.
Nope.
Some James Dean included.
Too much information and man.
So you can get that on the eBay.
She didn't make enough money off of the video. Now she has to sell the bikini.
We don't know how much money she made off the video, do we?
Not interested.
Since our young friend James Dean gave us something to think about. Mm-hmm. Perhaps what her earnings were for that. So there. While we're talking about auctions, congratulations to the high bidder for last night's art auction at Christie's in New York City.
Yep.
New York Post is reporting that a gentleman, as of yet unknown in identity, paid nearly $2 million for a painting. The subject of the painting, a topless B. Arthur from the Golden Girls.
What?
Yes.
Nobody paid $2 million for that.
B. Arthur's cans.
Playing Wiener Roast.
Good band name.
The auctioneer at Christie called the painting visually lasting. Yeah, I bet you see that picture. You never forget it. It's visually lasting. It's burned in your retinas. Claiming it's historically significant, it's radical to sexualize someone people think of as asexual, said the art expert. See? It's genius.
Please.
I'm with Kevin on not understanding how art works sometimes. How was the decision made that this painting, that is not by a particularly skilled painter, can be worth $2 million?
Because it's a comment on popular culture in our times, Bean.
That's but some BS that somebody in the art world spun.
The artist, John Curran, is known for campy works of art featuring women in provocative poses.
So is that it, that he's already famous? He has a built-in fan base, so that's why his stuff goes for so much?
He's also known for his sexy Hillary Clinton works.
Not interested!
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought that was a joke.
No, it's true.
Is there such a thing?
Yes. This is from a guy, by the way, Bean asking this question, from a guy who gave money to a guy who takes pictures of corn.
Yeah, true.
And says that's art. So I don't want to hear any art critiques from Mr. Baxter.
I enjoyed that work, but it was also like $100, too. I mean, that's not $2 million. I'm trying to figure out how
$100 for a picture of corn is the same thing as $2 million for a naked B. Arthur. That's all relative. Because you know what you should pay for a picture of corn?
Really nothing.
Right. Someone should pay you to take it off their hands.
And then you toss it.
I got this picture of corn. I don't know what to do with it. Well, if you give me $5, I'll take it to the dump for you. Pictures of corn. It was only $100. He said that as if it's a defense.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you, Bean, for admitting that. I appreciate it.
Finally.
I don't like that you have that piece of tape. I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
You just said it out loud.
That could be used against me. Come on.
Jack White's Third Man Records in the news. They are teaming up with the legendary Sun Records record company. Sun Records, famous, of course, for discovering Elvis Presley, for example. They're re-releasing some classic 45s from that label's vast catalog.
All right.
Finally
some
new
45s
I can get my hands on.
Of Elvis.
Because my jukebox feels a little empty. The offerings are Bearcat by Rufus Thomas. Oh, we all love The Roof, right?
Sure.
Great song.
Stop it.
Great song.
Just Walking Classic. In the Rain from the Prisonaires.
Prisonaires are awesome.
Stop saying that these people are awesome.
Everything can't be awesome.
The Prisonaires were awesome. The Prisonaires were...
You should see the Prisonaires holding a picture of corn. Nothing gets better.
The Prisonaires were one of Elvis's favorite vocal groups, as a matter of fact. They were guys who put a band together in prison that were so good that they let him out of prison to tour and do concerts and then brought him back and put him up for the night.
That's bullshit.
They're very good.
Bean, would you like to reconsider that?
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you admitted it. And lastly, Get Rhythm by Johnny Cash, which is a great song. It's a great tune. These are all available at thirdmanrecords.com. You can get those singles. Jack White sure likes his vinyl.
He does. He sure does.
He likes him some vinyl. I'm out of time, but I want to tell you how Gwyneth Paltrow is charging $2,000 to meet her. Her fans $2,000 to meet her. Yeah, it's a fascinating story. We'll cover that in the next hour.
All
right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Megan Fox is 27 years old today. Wee Man from Jackass fame, 40 years old. Tori Spelling, also 40. David Boreanaz from Bones and Angel, of course, from Buffy, 44 years old today. Janet Jackson is 47. Chris Novoselic is 48 years old. Pierce Brosnan turned 60, and Danny Trejo.
This is Machete.
He's 69. I'm Ralph
Garman.
He
knows the score. He gets the women, and he kills the bad guys.
Yeah, he does.
All of the above.
I can't wait for Machete Kills.
No,
when's that coming
great.
Out? I don't know.
This is Machete.
Well, you should
machete.
Know, Machete. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
But I can't be there at the Weenie Roast on Saturday. How can I see it?
I'm not doing that, man. I'm not doing that.
What? But there are people out there who wanted
you
to go.
Can watch the web. You can watch the webcast starting at noon Pacific at krock.com.
Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, and a dozen other bands. You can also, by the way, control your own onstage camera. It's an exclusive 360 camera where you can pick your own angle during those performances. That is pretty awesome. That makes you the director. Live webcast again, Saturday at noon, brought to you by ADHD, which is Fox's all-new block of Out of This World animation, premiering Saturday night, July 27th on Fox.
Here's the headline. Right. Senior prostitution ring busted in New Jersey. Here's the first sentence. Authorities have arrested three people following allegations of prostitution and drug use at a senior citizen housing complex in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
That place is going off.
It certainly is. It's always a surprise when you see somebody in their 70s or older, even 60s, getting involved in anything having to do with prostitution. And I don't know why it is a surprise to me. People are still sexual, you know, when they get to be that age. Of course they would be, but there's just... There's
and they have
factor.
More time on their hands.
This dude is 75.
Right, but you're still going to be having sex when you're 75, Kevin.
I'll be calling this guy.
Maybe so. You call this guy for the hookup. Detective Captain Timothy Terrell tells the Record newspaper that James Darham, he's a 75-year-old, has admitted providing prostitutes to some of his younger neighbors. Crazy, crazy story. I don't know all the details, but we asked producer Dave, could you line up Mr. Parham? Perhaps if he would talk to us, we'd be so grateful. And sure enough, he has come through and he joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Hi, James. How are you, sir?
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, my nizzle?
Wow, you're one of those uncomfortably hip 75-year-olds, huh?
That's right. It's hard out here for a pimp.
That's what I understand. And you actually are being charged with being a pimp, of providing prostitutes to younger neighbors. That's a crazy charge for a 75-year-old man.
I know. 5-0 be cray. Ho-ho be cray-cray.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did it happen? How did you end up in this business, James?
Well, I live here in the senior center.
Right.
And it turns out some of my neighbors have needs.
Right.
And being a good neighbor, I tried to provide those needs for a reasonable cost.
Now, how did you get into that? How did you know where to look, where to go, how to find the girls?
Well, bitches be crazy.
Right?
Well,
but that's not to Kevin's question.
I just slapped up some hoes here in the complex.
Oh, no.
And I said, you bet. Best get your ass out there and earn for Jimmy Jam James.
Oh, no.
So were these women even prostitutes, or did you force them into the life just so you could make some money off of them?
I turned them out, yo.
Oh, you turned them out, yo. I didn't realize that.
And now they're all my bitches.
Right. Well, what
Hold
does
on
it...
a
what,
second.
What's happening?
Oh.
Nice.
Pretty big hit.
That's how I take my Metamucil.
Oh, I see. What do you do to keep the ladies in line? At 75, I imagine you're not physically intimidating.
I threaten to take away their teeth. That Ugh. Keeps them in line.
Ugh.
Although it actually makes them more attractive to some people. Comes in handy sometimes when you're just rocking the gum line. You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, wow.
Yes,
that's
we
not-
do.
Not talk about that. I guess I didn't realize that the prostitutes were also senior citizens. I thought maybe just you were the pimp and you were finding younger women to do the work.
No, my main hoe, Cheryl, she's 66.
All right. 66.
Yeah, and another one, Selma, she's 54.
Selma.
You know, with a name like Selma, she's got to be hot, yo.
No, I don't know that.
Is it inexpensive to hire a 66-year-old woman for sex? I would hope so.
Well, the rates vary, of course, depending on what you're into.
Right.
Yo.
Stop saying yo.
So, you know, for certain activities, it's, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Okay.
A couple hundred
for others,
bucks. Okay.
We'll put it on your Medicare card.
Oh, you can
oh,
do
that's
that.
Nice. That's
sure.
convenient.
food stamps. We take a lot of trade, things in barter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Nebulizers, catheters, one of those I've fallen, I can't get up pendants.
What does that get you? What kind of trade does that get you?
That gets you Selma without her teeth.
Wow. Okay.
Not a bad deal.
No, not bad at all.
And sometimes the guys have fallen and they can't get up, and Selma ends up wasting her time.
Dr. Drew Pinsky may or may not be a medical doctor, but he is a friend of the show.
He is a medical doctor.
Well, that's what he says. He'll join us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Abeen Show, the great Adam Carolla, just after 9. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Abeen Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We scour the internet so you don't have to, and put all the best viral videos of the week up at krock.com or kevinabeen.com. And this is, I think, a particularly good badge. Don't you think, Kevin?
Absolutely.
You are off the hook. You will no longer ever be in the conversation of the worst first pitch ever thrown out at a baseball game. Because of this guy at Florida State, he works for an insurance agency in Florida, and he walks out to the mound, and you saw how cocky he was when he walked out. He practically skips out, he's throwing the ball up in the air, and he's a young guy, and he looks athletic, and he is going to nail it, you can tell. He throws this pitch, Lisa, not only into the dirt, but not even toward the catcher, like off between the home plate and first base, like toward the dugout. It hits the ground like 6 feet from the mound in the wrong direction, and then he falls flat on his face. And as you'll hear from this clip, the crowd loved it.
He's here tonight hosting Brown and Brown Insurance this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to let her rip.
People love a good fall.
Did the announcer go, "Oh,
no."
You got to see that one. It's so funny. Abercrombie & Fitch is back in the news lately for a long time. They have, well, some people say discriminated against larger people because they won't sell anything that's even a large in a lot of their outfits. Yeah. You have to be like a size 10 or below if you're a lady to even buy anything at A&F. So this guy is trying to figure out a way to turn the tables on him. So he has come up with a plan where he's asking people to take all the Abercrombie & Fitch stuff out of their closet and do like he's doing, which is to donate it to homeless people.
Find all the Abercrombie & Fitch clothes you've mistakenly purchased and give them away to your local homeless shelter. Together, we can make Abercrombie & Fitch the world's number one brand of homeless apparel.
That is kind of hilarious that he's trying to rebrand them as being for homeless people.
The CEO said that he would rather throw it away than give his clothes to homeless people.
Right. That's they burn their yeah. they burn their overstock. Exactly.
Yeah. What?
That's what he says.
Oh, they should go to hell.
Here's two guys making a video. They think they're going to be making fun of women who complain how much it hurts to be pregnant and how uncomfortable it is during pregnancy and then getting into labor. Boy, do they find out otherwise. They go to a hospital and they have electrical impulses hooked up to their abdomens that simulates what it's like to be pregnant. Listen to their change in tone before and after that experiment.
Did you know that according to women, childbirth is the worst kind of pain there is?
And did you know according to women that us men can't handle any of it?
Well, did you know that, according to men, women exaggerate everything?
That was not good. So.
I love that.
They walk out with their heads hung.
I think every woman who's ever had a baby is going to put that video up on her Facebook page today. It's pretty incredible. Now the greatest music video of all time. He is a commander on board the International Space Station. His name is Chris Hadfield, and he is doing David Bowie's classic song, Space Oddity, weightless in space as the spaceship is out there. It's just, you can't even believe how awesome this is to look at.
This is Major Tom to ground control. I've left forevermore, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way.
Literally floating in space. It's really cool.
And you see inside the space station, and then, you know, what they're seeing outside the windows is just amazing. And
Kevin, do you think somebody's going to contact them from base and say, hey, aren't you supposed to be astronauting? Don't you have something to do?
I think you get some time off to make music videos. I think that's fair. Hmm. Well, the goats are back. We heard them. They were very popular a couple of months ago when they were inserting screaming goats into Bon Jovi and Taylor Swift songs. Now the Daft Punk song Get Lucky got the goat treatment.
To the
it's a great
cracks
video.
Me up every time. Jurassic Park is back in theaters. As you know, it was re-released in 3D recently, so that caused these guys to take a look very closely at that Steven Spielberg movie and maybe find a few things that are wrong with it.
Jurassic Park tour blows its early by putting the T-Rex paddock on the second stop of the tour. Any self-respecting theme park would know to put the T-Rex last.
Everybody stay here.
Ellie just lets this little kid run into what she thinks is a possibly dangerous situation.
Yeah, they tear the movie apart. Don't watch it if you want to enjoy Jurassic Park, because nothing makes sense when you watch this thing. Here's a just one of those great ladies on the street. She's being interviewed by the news about all the problems they're having in the city of Detroit, and she is very outspoken, and I can't believe she hasn't been turned into a viral video yet with her advice for the city.
If y'all really want to run the city of Detroit, come around here in every block of the city of Detroit, look through these houses. If they ain't no good, tear that down so people can stop finding dead relatives in these damn houses and pay these damn Detroit cops what they supposed to earn for being out here protecting the city of Detroit.
I think she needs to be the new mayor of Detroit, don't you guys?
She's a beautiful young flower.
She certainly is. Jimmy Kimmel is back with a very popular segment that he does where he takes celebrities and has them read mean tweets that fans or other people who aren't fans have sent to them. Celebrities read mean tweets about themselves, part four.
Hey, Zach Braff, I could take a picture of a piece of in my toilet, and it would be a better movie than Garden State.
Brad Paisley and his country singing face.
Kid Rock looks like he would smell like stale farts and cigarettes.
It's a good thing Ray Romano was funny, because his face looks like a I took today.
And finally, also from Jimmy, who hands down has the best late night show in television on ABC weeknights at 11:30 this week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Court security officer accidentally himself in the courthouse locker room.
I'm telling you, this the longer it goes on, the harder it gets.
This is an actual study that finds if you suck your child's you may actually be helping your kids.
Oh. See, they didn't say anything dirty, that's but you wrong. Put the beep in the right place and it sounds like they did. You can see all these videos plus a Harlem shake gone wrong that you're definitely not going to want to miss. It involves things catching on fire. It's all available for you right now at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new internet roundup.
Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Dr. Drew on call on HLN and, of course, Loveline here on K-Rock. And you can see him on stage with the great Adam Carolla. The reunion tour is happening at the Napa Valley Uptown Theater in Napa, California. And that is going to be Saturday night. Tickets available through DrDrew.com. And don't miss the fine family of Dr. Drew podcasts as well. Hey, Doc, how you doing, buddy?
I've been great. Thank you for saying so.
I got to tell you, we thought of you immediately when the Angelina Jolie news shocked the world a couple of days ago. I know this is a topic that you are interested in and have been talking about a lot on the TV. It was, should we have not been shocked by the decision we made? Because it seems like it would be almost impossible for a woman to say, hey, take my boobs off.
Well, not when you pretty much know they're going to cause cancer at a certain point and you've got kids and you'd rather not die. I mean, this idea that when people – there's a couple things I am surprised about the story. A – no one has yet asked, hey, when did you get this surgery done?
I thought we heard it was like 3 months ago.
Not really. No, I've not really heard a clear read on when she did this.
She's already had the surgery and the reconstruction before the article even appeared.
That could be a long process. I wonder when this all started. I almost think it might have started a couple of years ago, which is kind of interesting. Why waiting so long to come out with this if she's so interested in being the face of this? And she's entitled to keep quiet about it. I understand that. And then number two, why people are so surprised by this. I mean, some people, again, there's differing risks depending on which of the BRCA genes you have. And some people at different ages will elect for more aggressive screening and monitoring rather than having the mastectomy. But her age, yeah, you know, Cara DioGuardi did the same thing. They have, mm-hmm. they have hysterectomy. They have mastectomy. Christina Applegate, same thing. And yet, when they did it, it didn't create the same firestorm that for some reason...
Angelina Jolie is a much, much bigger star, and she is a much, much bigger sex symbol. And I think that's the combination of why we were.
And didn't Christina already have breast cancer?
Yeah, she did, and right. And she was a little different. Cara DioGuardi is exactly the same story. But why is Angelina Jolie not allowed to be a human being? Is she not biological?
What?
And this is an important message for all of us. And I find it, the third thing I find so bizarre is people are like reacting to it. Like, how dare she do that? What is she doing? How nutty? How crazy? No, this is what you do. The same thing happens with men and prostate cancer. You get, you know, you watch the PSA, then they get biopsied, then if it's looking like it's converting and going towards cancer, then you take the prostate out. It's the exact same thing.
Dr. Drew, are you telling me that Angelina Jolie is a person?
As a person, it can get cancer. It's shocking, I know, to
look,
everybody.
I haven't heard all the backlash that you're talking about.
Maybe it's just because I live in such a horrible Twitterverse that I see it on Twitter.
Maybe so.
Yeah. I would not want to be you on Twitter.
You're on fire.
I know. It's really ridiculous.
You know what I think some of it might be, Dr. Drew, is that, and I know maybe this doesn't hold up because the odds were so great that she was going to develop cancer. I mean, what is it, 87% likelihood?
Yeah.
Right. I think most people, it's a last resort to start lopping off body parts.
That's correct. And it used to be a last resort when we didn't have such good predictive value, such good testing to predict what the future.
Is this new, these?
They're not new, but the way we use them and the sophistication of the test and what the tests imply now is much more clear. And mm-hmm. so we can make much more clear recommendations. It used to be like, for instance, I think when Christina Applegate had her bilateral mastectomy, they were saying things like, well, you might want to do this. It could reduce the risk.
Right.
Now they're like, hey, 87%, you want to do
this.
Right,
it's
a much clearer recommendation.
I want to talk to you a minute, Dr. Drew, about the reconstructive surgery. I don't know very much about this, but I was surprised to read that Angelina Jolie, in February, I guess, at some point, she found out that she could keep her nipples. They had some sort of a thing that they could do with blood or something like that to keep her nipples alive and active to put on the reconstructed breast. And I read that less than 5% of women who have the double mastectomy are able to keep their nipples. Why is that?
That's a technical question. I don't know the answer to tell you the truth. I know that I don't want to say destructive surgery, but a lot of tissue has to be removed. And there's tissue in the nipple that I don't understand even technically how they tease it away from the tissue that can cause cancer.
Right. Yep. I think we just
lost
the doctor.
We did. Our phone system just went down.
Sorry, hung up. I don't know.
Somebody didn't like his BS, I'll tell you that. Dr. Drew hosting Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call on HLN weeknights as well. Always great to have the doctor on. Follow him on Twitter and send him a nice message once in a while at Dr. Drew. We'll be right back with Ralph Showbiz Beat on K-Rock.
One more spoon of cough syrup now.
Little Wayne on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Did you say Little Wayne on the world famous character? What did you say?
Mm-hmm. Little Wayne. Cough syrup.
I thought you did. Hey, Ralph Garman is here for the Showbiz Speed on a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm eating my water rice.
Your what?
My water rice.
Your what?
Listen.
English, fool. Please. English only.
Don't call me a fool.
Philadelphia has three claims to fame when it comes to cuisine.
Okay.
Right. We got the cheesesteak.
Right.
Obviously, we got the soft pretzel.
Okay.
Right. And you got the water ice.
War ice?
Water ice.
You mean water?
Water.
Water. W-A-R-T?
Right, water.
That's what I'm eating, is water ice?
You're eating water ice.
I had no idea.
Like wart? Water? Like wart?
No, the Philadelphia accent, water, is pronounced water.
That's not an annoying accent.
And so,
at all.
In the summertime, you'd get some water ice. You go down to the Italian ice, the water ice stand, and you get some, cherry water ice or chocolate water ice. And it was a delicious summertime dessert. And the good people at Rita's Ice just came by, and they're an East Coast based company, and they've brought us some Italian ice.
Yummy.
It's delicious,
but it's hard to talk after you've had cold.
It's unlike any frozen confection you've had. It's
I would
not
expect
quite,
it to be for war ice.
It's not a snow cone. Mm-hmm. It's not sorbet. It's water ice, and it is it's a unique, delicious treat. And this is bringing me back to my childhood. I'm very excited.
Did you fight to get rid of the Philadelphia accent?
Oh yeah, they had to beat it out of me when I first got here. I should play some clips of some acting gigs I got when I first moved to Los Angeles.
I would like to hear
that.
Boy,
it is just so there. I played a teenage kid who accidentally killed somebody who was on trial for murder.
Right.
In a show called The Judge or The Courtroom or something. I don't know. It was one of these dramatization shows. And I'm like, I don't want to go to jail. This horrible Philadelphia accent. But
it
anyway,
still comes out.
Go to Rita's Ice.com and find out where the nearest Rita is to you, because if you've never had water ice, you're really going to enjoy yourself. I'm telling you, it's good stuff.
Sounds good.
They got mango. I've never had mango before. When I was a kid, it was like three flavors. That was it. Now they got mango and pina colada and I don't know other stuff they got over there. It's good stuff.
Good times. Hey, your accent does still come out from time to time, Ralph. It's still creeps in there every once in a while.
Certain words will do it to me, Sometimes I'll drop my H's.
Yeah, like you say human.
Sometimes I say human.
Yeah.
But I try to hit the H's in human and go, some of you hear me overcompensate. So the human being, right?
Well, our friend Haddam Carolla joins us after the top of the hour.
Haddam Carolla.
That's
Right, here's Ralph.
Just have some water ice and forget about it.
I'd like somebody to describe it without the word wart in it, if you don't mind.
A friend of mine came out once to visit me, and another mutual friend that I'd met out here was taking them on a tour. And this guy kept saying to him, "You know, I hear about the droughts a lot. Where do you guys get your water?" And I swear to God, my friend Phil was like, "What? Your water? Where's your water come from? What's he saying?" He wants to know how we get our water, where the water
You
comes
can interpret.
From. Water. Hey, how about tickets to see Fast and Furious 6?
Yay!
All right. L.A. premieres Tuesday, May the 21st, Universal City Walk. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, May the 24th. If you'd like to go, well, why wouldn't you? You get to see Paul Walker and Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson do what they do best, drive cars and shoot guns. Boy, it must be a lot of fun to make one of these movies.
I would think so.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call that number right now. The first five callers will get a pair of passes to see Fast and Furious 6 at the L.A. premiere up at Universal City Walk. And maybe they'll throw in a water ice. Cherry water ice. Get your water ice. Guys would sell it in like the things around their neck, like with the coolers, you know? Walking up down the street, the water ice man would come by and get some water ice.
Water.
Kanye West is a douchebag.
Now right, what?
Next story.
Next story.
No, last night he was performing at an upfront for, I think it was Adult Swim? Yeah, Adult Swim upfront. Last night he was performing and he was doing his music, I guess you call it that.
How dare you,
and
by the way.
He went off on this rant about how he's not a celebrity.
Not a celebrity?
You got to hear this.
Not a role model, maybe. It can be
no,
argued.
No, he's a celebrity.
Not a celebrity.
But he is no mother effing celebrity, according to Kanye. The audio here is a little murky. Try to make it out, and I will recap after we listen to a little bit of a 5-minute rant in the mid song for Kanye talking about how he is not a mother effing celebrity.
I ain't a mother effing celebrity. I ain't running for office. I ain't kissing nobody mother effing babies. I drop your baby, you sue me and I'm trying to make some music that inspires people to be the best they can be. Make me crash and all they want is for a nigga to laugh. Hell no, I ain't doing no mother SNL skits. This is my goddamn life.
Wow.
Yeah.
He is crazy. Wow. What a good time concert.
I don't want nobody running up on me with no cameras trying to like sell pictures and S to magazines, asking me no dumbass questions, throwing me off my focus and S, harassing you all mother effing day. I ain't no mother effing celebrity.
You should check Kim's phone.
Hey, asshole. When you show up at the Met Ball in your Armani tuxedo and you're posing for the pictures and you're hobnobbing with your celebrity pals and you're using all that to your advantage to sell your records and your whore girlfriend, your knocked up whore girlfriend is up there selling her life on E! Every week. Yeah, you're a celebrity. Get over it.
That's how it works.
You know what? He's still cheesed off because he smashed his head into a sign when a photographer was trying to catch him.
That was
that's
funny.
What he's pissed off about.
Really?
Obviously, that's what he's pissed off about because he was all, don't take my picture, and then he put his head down and he walked head first into a wrong way sign. Nothing's ever been funnier. And everybody's starting to laugh and take his pictures, and he's still cheesed off about it.
Well, he mentions SNL in that rant because I think people had been asking him if he was going to do a skit about that because he's the musical guest on SNL this weekend. And they were wondering, and that's where he's like, no, man, I hate the paparazzi, and this is my real life.
Yeah, right. And I can't, nothing bad can happen to me. Nothing, I can never be embarrassed because I'm Kanye West.
Yeah.
Shut up. Here's the audio, by the way, if you haven't heard him hitting his head into the sign. Listen for the gong.
Don't take another photo, man.
I just got here, homie.
Don't take no photos.
Okay.
Stop it.
Brother,
stop it, man.
I just got here, brother. I just got here. Kanye, I just got here.
Leave the man alone.
You want me to leave? I'll leave, Kanye.
Whatever you say, Kanye.
Dave to Kenya, Mexico. There's
Rudy out there.
That would be Kenya, then. It'd be Kenya.
Oh, Kenya. Kenya West. He was upset because he hit his head and people were taking pictures.
It was awesome.
And he can never be embarrassed because he's Kanye West.
I would hate the paparazzi more than anything in the world if I were Kanye West, though. I'll tell you that.
Hey, you know what? There's a way to avoid it.
You can, yeah.
You can go away.
Right.
Go away. You don't have to be in Beverly Hills. You don't have to be at the Met Ball. You don't have to be out there making it rain, drinking your Ciroc or whatever it is you're doing in all the clubs when you be clubbing. You know, you can just avoid all that stuff. And you know what? There's nobody there to take your pictures if you stay your ass at home and play your Xbox.
I will say, for everybody who complains about the paparazzi, I have these two words for you. George Clooney, who manages to do fine. And he's a lot more famous. Yeah, biggest star of the world, manages to not have any problem with the paparazzi because, as Ralph says, he picks and chooses where he goes and what he does.
Right. He doesn't engage in public douchebaggery on a regular basis. And I'm sorry to tell you, the private jet you're flying around in and all the diamonds you wear and all the bling that you have, Kanye West? Well, that comes with a price. You don't just get all the good stuff, and then you get to call the shots about how you want the rest of your life to go. Boy, what an ass. Glad he hit his head on that sign. Hope he hits his head on another one. All right, I'm out of time. I got a lot of stuff here.
Sign gave him.
I got to get another water ice.
Gave him what for?
Another what?
Water ice. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Trejo, he's 69 years old.
This is machete.
Pierce Brosnan, 60 as well.
This is machete.
Chris Novoselic, Nirvana. 48 years old. Janet Jackson's 47 years old. David Boreanaz, also from Philadelphia. He's another Philly boy. He
doesn't talk like this.
He's 44 years old. Tori Spelling's 40. Wee Man, I love Jackass. He's so funny on that. 40 years old. And Megan Fox. Yes, she is. 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Adam Carolla is on the phone, and he's all over the Southland, including tonight a Mangria signing event at Baycrest Liquors in Costa Mesa. That is going to be at 6 o'clock. Then a live podcast with someone named Dov Davidoff. Where do you find these people, Adam, that I've never heard of that you're on stage with at the Irvine Improv tonight?
Dov Davidoff's been around doing stand-up for a million years.
A million years?
Maybe
so that
more.
Makes literally? So that makes me the dick. That's what you're saying.
You can, you've always been a dick. I didn't make you into a dick. Your parents made you. God made you into a dick. Flora and fauna and nature made you into a dick.
You can get information on these appearances as well as buy tickets at adamcarolla.com. And don't forget, you're with Dr. Drew. That's going to be this weekend, Saturday night in Napa Valley. Again, adamcarolla.com. The Ace Man is here. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting at 3 and making my way up to number 1. I'm in love with this first idea because this is a money maker, people.
Right.
You know, we have these huge trials, you know, O.J., Scott Peterson, you know, Jody Arias, and they go on forever and ever. And you think, how much does this cost the taxpayers
right.
of Arizona? I mean, literally millions of dollars because this bitch is nuts and we couldn't just throw in the clink or fire in 10 minutes like we should have. This is millions of dollars that aren't going to schools or roads or cops or firemen. Here's my idea. I think it's brilliant. We need to license these things, meaning CNN needs to pay for them. We'll bid them out. You buy the Super, you know, somebody buys the Super Bowl every year, right? You know,
right.
NBC, Fox, they don't get it for free, do they?
Right. No, of course not. You got to sponsor it.
And you don't get to go, well, Fox had the highest bid, so they get the Super Bowl, and then CBS goes, well, we're going to come down there and bring some cameras, too.
That's true.
You don't do it. So why should CNN get 5,000 hours of free programming?
Interesting.
And the taxpayers foot the bill.
It is time for the government to start thinking of creative ways to make money, right?
Instead of getting it from me, yes. It should be licensed. Well, CNN would do it because CNN knows they are going to get thousands of hours of content.
Yeah, true.
From
that's
this
true.
Trial. Give them a couple exclusive interviews with Jody or Scott Peterson or whatever it is. You know, product placement. She's holding a Pepsi Free or something while she's in the courthouse. But either way, let's get our money back.
Yeah, no, nothing wrong with that. You know, I think the larger point is the government shouldn't be allowed to spend money on anything that they can't also somewhere make that money back. Like, they should be operating as a zero-sum game.
And CNN would be more than happy to buy it because they get hundreds and thousands of hours of free programming. All right, now, on to my daughter. I went and did a little walk. I went and saw her play the other morning at 8:15, and then I did the walk-through because I wasn't around for open house. So I did the walk-through her class. Couple things. First off, her teacher, first grade teacher, nose stud.
What?
a stud in her nostril.
All right.
She's wearing go-go boots, tight designer jeans.
All right.
And she has a nose stud.
I need to go back to school.
Could you imagine? Remember when it was just old Mrs. Parker with the funny hairdo and the crappy dress from the 50s?
Sure.
Yep, nose stud. And a couple things, and boy, am I getting old. She had a big Starbucks Frappuccino on top of her desk, you know, with the dome lid and the whipped cream and the whole thing.
Sure.
And on the cup was her name. Her first name was scrawled on the cup, and it was facing out toward the class.
There we go.
And I was like, oh, my God, they're going to find out your first name, and then it's going to be over. You know what would happen if you found out your teacher's first name. It was insane. And I said, you don't want to do this. They said, oh, they all know my first name.
Oh, my God. What is going on?
I don't know. They all know the first name. And then at some point, my daughter had me by the hand, and she was walking me around the class and showing me her, you know, construction paper with beans stuck to it in the shape of a heart or a peace sign or whatever she was doing. And two kids, not one, but two six-year-old boys tapped me on the shoulder and said, two separate incidents, said, hey, you're not supposed to be in here.
What?
Could you imagine when you were in the first grade if one of your classmates had their old tall dad by the hand and was walking them around the class? Could you imagine going, I'm going to go settle that dude's hash? Could you? These kids are monsters, are they not?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't get it.
There's no way you would talk to someone else's dad like that way, right?
Certainly not. You'd be terrified. Hey, absolutely
and
not.
And hey, Sheila, what about the homework today?
I want these kids tagged so we can follow the douche progression. I want the two kids that tap me on the shoulder and want to know what I was doing in their classroom and telling me to scram. I want them tagged so I can follow them as part of my experiment. I'll tag them like caribou, and I'll follow them throughout their life. And I'll tally the number of times they say to, like, their boss, you're not the boss of me. All right, and last but not least, a very, very, very sad sign for this city we all used to love, L.A. I talk about this all the time. It's just one of these, you know, whether it's the barbed wire around the freeway signs or the shaving cartridges or the spray paint being locked up in the shark cages so you can't get to them, all horrible signs of the apocalypse. This is a bad one. Have you seen this Wiener Schnitzel commercial where the two guys are going around and they're finding the dogs from all the best parts of the country, and they're bringing it now to the Wiener Schnitzel menu? And first they go to Coney Island, and they go, ooh, we're going to get a Coney Island dog, and we're going to bring that to the menu. Then they go to Chicago, and they got the beautiful Chicago dog, for my money, the best hot dog out there. And then they come to L.A., and where do they go? They go out front of the Staples Center. They buy a hot dog from an illegal. It's wrapped with bacon, and it's called the Street Dog. It's the L.A. Street Dog. They have on their menu the illegal food that is sold by illegal aliens in front of the Staples Center. It's now become woven into the fabric of our society.
I figured they'd go for the Dodger dog if they were going to come to Los Angeles for a dog.
No, the L.A. Street Dog. It is wrapped with bacon. It comes in a miniature shopping cart with fries.
Well, those are your people. They're representing you, Ace Man. What are you going to do?
Just kill myself.
Mangria signing event at Baycrest Liquors in Costa Mesa. That's at 6. And then on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. AdamCarolla.com is where you go to buy the tickets. And this weekend with Dr. Drew, the Loveline Reunion Tour is in Napa, so that's at the Uptown Theater. Check that out. We'll talk to you in a week, dude. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
There's no way.
What do you think I am, Bean?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
I would like to respectfully request the new moment with before we get into showbiz, if you don't mind, Ralph, if we have time.
Oh, all right, if you insist.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
That was a moment with Kevin.
The point you were acting at any.
I got to be honest, I don't remember saying that, and I don't have any idea what that means.
Well, I think you were saying, were you ever a doctor and an actor at the same time?
Yes.
Were you doing both jobs concurrently?
Why wouldn't at I the just... point you were being a doctor, were you also being an actor, what you're trying to say? But you just took all the words from that sentence and put them in a Cuisinart and said, if I just spill them out, it doesn't really matter what order I put them in as long as they're all there.
It's a word jumble.
Now, were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any, is what you said.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at any?
That was A Moment with
it's
Kevin.
It's not edited, people.
It's just brain damage.
I'm going to put actor Ken Jeong down for a no on a return visit, being likely to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I want to thank podcast listener Matthew Whitney.
F you, Matthew Whitney.
Who gave us the...
bastard, they missed it.
Heads up to that one on April 26th. At the 1 hour 55 second mark in the podcast, if you want to check it out, as it happened naturally.
What's happening with
Kevin?
People?
You say we missed it as if we can be held responsible. Look, it's like saying it's pouring all the time and you want us to see every raindrop.
That's right.
No, but it's like you were saying earlier, if you don't call the foul during the game, there's no video replay. You don't go back a couple of weeks.
But how many refs would you have on the floor to call all the fouls that happened during your games?
All.
You'd need a team of like 100 refs just with all you would hear is whistles blowing. We're only human, for God's sakes. We're human, as we say.
Human, Philly.
Right.
Yeah. Sad news for fans of Saturday Night Live. All the best people are starting to drop off now.
Uh-oh.
I'm very, very sad about the news that's coming out of New York.
First, we lost Kristen Wiig.
Sure.
It was a juggernaut on that show. Then, this week, Bill Hader has announced that he is leaving Saturday Night Live. Seth Meyers is leaving the show. Not until 2014, of course, when he takes over for his buddy Jimmy Fallon. But he will be leaving. And now, Fred Armisen leaving Saturday Night Live. It looks like Jason Sudeikis probably out as well.
Wow.
That's
a big hole
to fill. That's blowing it up, man. Those are all of their best people.
Yeah, those are the superstars. Tough times.
But forgive me for asking, Ralph. You don't watch it.
If I watched that show, I'd be more upset.
I don't watch it.
I do, and the only thing I'll say is this would be a death knell for any other show, but the list of people that Saturday Night Live has lost throughout the years, it's incredible. They figure out a way to move on and find new people.
Yeah, but not this time.
They don't usually all go at once, though. This is kind of odd that way.
They've had wholesale changes of cast from season to season.
Haven't they?
They've lost entire cast and a brand new cast has come in.
I didn't know that.
That happened several times in the history of the show, yeah.
But not this time?
Not this time.
Okay.
No. They're not going to make it this time.
All right.
That's what people say about the Kevin and Bean show, too. You know, Jimmy Kimmel leaves, Adam Carolla leaves.
Right.
It's like, they'll find somebody new. Now, here I am. When do I get to leave? How the hell you get out of here?
I don't think you do.
John Cho was on the show earlier today, and he was looking for the exit. He said, how do I get out of here? And I said, I've been trying to answer that question for 15 years, sir. If no one knows. Craziness. Gwyneth Paltrow wants to meet you. You can meet Gwyneth Paltrow and hang out with her.
That's so nice.
Is this an auction?
See,
Bean could bid on it and then not go.
No, it's not an auction.
You say she doesn't ever do anything nice for her fans.
That's right. All it will cost you is $2,000 if you'd like to meet her.
$2,000 for what?
To meet her. She's inviting 60 of her best, biggest fans to go on an epic trip to New York on June the 14th, in which she will give you a private cooking class.
A cooking class?
She's got a new cookbook called It's All Good. This is a tie-in with her Goop website. That's not the same Goop website that you can find the Fair Abraham video on. This is a different Goop website.
That's Goop.
Sorry. Yeah. She opened it up through Groupon.com.
What?
Yes.
For $2,000 a piece?
For $2,000 a pop, 60 people could hang out with her in New York City and get a private cooking class from Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, f*** you.
Before you scoff, it's sold out in less than 24 hours. All 60 spots are gone. Yep, no more room.
Wow. That's a shocker.
Soap just make apple flambe for dessert. Just set your kid on fire.
Your kid. Okay,
see,
got it.
Thank you. There? Yeah. And while we're talking about Fair Abraham... Or as some people call her.
Farrah Abramson.
Nice. Beer mug on top of his game today. you can have the bikini she wore in her sex tape.
Nope.
Would you like that?
Nope.
Yeah, it's up for sale. It's on sale on eBay.
Nope.
You can bid on it.
Mm-mm.
Went up for a bid on eBay at midnight. Bid starting at $500.
Not interested.
Same bikini she wore in Farrah Superstore Backdoor Teen Mom.
That's so hot.
In fact, she wears it on the cover of that same DVD. video.
There's not enough bleach in the world to get that bikini clean.
You don't want it clean, right? You want it.
That's hot.
You like a little, little gamey?
No.
You like a little used?
No.
Well, good news is it comes used. It hasn't been washed. Hasn't been washed since Farrah wore it, says the posting. The bikini shows overt signs of wear. In fact, fake tan stains.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Glitter from her body
it's a
lotion.
Fake tan stain.
Still got glitter from her body lotion on there. The listing says, Farrah's bikini, straight off Farrah's body and into your hands.
USA! USA! USA!
What was the opening bid, if you know, Ralph?
The bid started at $500. That was the That's what they're asking for first. I have no idea where it stands now. Maybe
can
someone
we,
in the other room can
doesn't eBay pull
check.
That stuff down? If it has...
I thought they had a policy about used clothing. Thank you, Kevin. I think you're right about that.
You can't, like, put up used underwear, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is different?
I think this is different, yeah. Because used underwear implies a certain... possessing a certain bodily fluids, perhaps.
Right.
They haven't, I know they have a bodily fluid clause on eBay.
And it sounds like this has plenty of that on it.
But I don't believe the... they're claiming that the Farrah bikini has any bodily fluids on. At least they're not putting that in the description, so... Once Beer Mug figures out how to work the internet, we'll have him go to eBay and see what's
going
on.
Well, I want Dave to look it up so that we can have him read numbers like he does.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
It's still at 500.
Beer Mug went directly to TMZ.com instead of eBay, where we were looking to go. But
he did it quickly, Ralph.
We'll get that back to you as soon as possible. Yeesh. All right, let's talk about celebrity birthdays while we're looking up that information.
Birthday.
Yeah, celebrity birthdays.
I can tell you right now.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
Okay. Holy moly.
$2,100.
Yeah.
Whoa.
$2,100.
Still 6 days and 14 hours left in the auction, by the way. So get your bid in now if you would like the authentic bikini worn on the cover of her... her video and in the video as well.
Yep. 2,100.
2,100.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave, the king of Mexico.
Well, that's one too many zeros, but thank you.
Is there any kind of... 2,100.00.
There we go.
Thank you.
That's better.
Is there any kind of a Hard Rock Cafe memorabilia type place for porn, Ralph?
I know they have footprints and handprints in cement. Mm-hmm. Outside the Hustler store on Sunset, I think they've got like a Hall of Fame there for adult film stars.
It seems like that's where an item like this might end up.
Yeah,
you know, along with Tommy.
I don't think
Lee's
it'll be in an eatery though.
No, probably not. Not a restaurant.
No, I don't believe you want that dangling over your Cobb salad, hanging from the ceiling. You don't want anything dropping in. Where there's a fly in my soup. Oh no, it's a crab. Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Megan Fox is 27 years old today. Jason Wee Man Acuna is 40 years old today. Tori Spelling is 40. David Boreanaz, another Philly boy. Wonder if he likes water ice. He and I
maybe
ate
you
some
can get
water
him
ice
to,
together.
Get him to come to your grand opening.
That's
when
right.
your place
when
opens.
I open up my water ice stand. Everybody comes out to read his water ice. Enjoy it. What flavor would you like? How you doing today?
you know all sorts of Philadelphia celebrities in town, right?
I do.
Yeah, you get everybody to come out and do
band
your grand
together.
Opening.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
Janet Jackson's 47 years old today. Chris Novoselic turns 48. Pierce Brosnan is 60. And Danny Trejo celebrates his 69th birthday today.
This is Machete. Happy birthday, Machete.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, unrelated to your new business, Ralph, we're going to talk about business startup disasters.
How dare you, sir?
Not that your war ice isn't going to go
it's
over
not
big.
War ice.
That's what you say. That's how you've been
go to
saying
Afghanistan
it.
War ice. Throw ice at
that's right. what you just said.
It's wart ice, Kevin.
Say it again.
Wart ice.
Water ice.
Water ice.
Water ice.
All right. We also have the director and star of Black Rock, Katie Azleton, on the program tomorrow.
Why does the rock got to be black?
It's about an island. It looks fantastic, by the way. Dude got eaten by a hippo tomorrow, and the guys from Lonely Island tomorrow, as well as your pit tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2000.